L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The NFL draft is now officially open.
This is draft season, brought to you by Moody's. Decode risk, unlock opportunity. Visit Moody's.com to learn more. I am John Schmelk. We are just under a week until night one of the 2024 NFL draft. John Schmelk joined, as always, by Tony Pauline from Sportskeeda, where you can find all his great draft coverage, rankings, and everything else. Tony, this is even the home stretch now. This is we've turned the final corner. We see the finish line, and whatever you have left in the tank, you give it. And teams are, if not had their final boards finalized already, they will be in short order.
A couple of teams are ending draft meetings this coming Friday. Some teams have already ended draft meetings. Expect all the news to come flying out. Some of it's true. Some of it's going to be smoke. But it's interesting. You got to kind of sit around and twiddle your thumbs and wait to hear whatever information that comes out. And I think the big thing that I'm hearing right now, people talk about the quarterbacks. Drake May, is he underrated? You know, where is he going to go? But from teams who have ended their draft meetings, I'm hearing that there is a lot of love for Brock Bowers. As I reported on Sportskeeda yesterday, we believe that Brock Bowers is probably the most underrated player, or the players being the most underrated in this draft. I had one NFL exec tell me yesterday, people who are mocking Brock Bowers in the middle first round are nuts. They firmly believe that Brock Bowers will end up as a top 10 pick. And, you know, why not? The guy's been a dominant player for 3 years. You know, he plays, as we talked about, tight end position like a receiver. Looked great in the limited pro day that he did catching passes. And he's been tremendous on the football field.
Yeah, we just don't have testing numbers on him. But if you watch the film, there's no reason to think that he wouldn't have tested off the charts. Anyway, he was on to Bruce Feldman's freaks list. So needless to say, I'm with you. We did a mock draft on one of our other Giant shows, and me, Lance, and Paul Dottino, Lance Meadow, we're going a three-way mock, and we get to, gosh, what was it, like pick 16 to the Seahawks, and I'm picking, and I'm like, guys, the Seahawks don't have a need for Brock Bowers. I cannot let him stay on the board any longer. Yeah. I must pick him because he's too good. He's too good. The problem, Tony, you get to the point now where you get to like these teams from like 11 to 14 or 15, and there's just no tight end need there. So if he gets that far, I could see him maybe slide, but maybe a team trades up for him then. It'll be really interesting to see, because he's a great player, where teams end up valuing that position.
Denver Broncos at 12. I think the Denver Broncos at 12 would, if they don't trade up, you know, if they can't move up to get a quarterback, and they don't reach for a quarterback at 12, which I don't think they're going to do. I mean, you look at their tight end depth chart, Adam Trautman, who's never lived up to expectations, Greg Dulcich, who's been all over the place. I think and you look at the head coach, I think if he's available and the Broncos don't move, I think that's his floor as far as I'm concerned, is 12 to the Broncos.
All right, just so people understand, next week we're going to have two shows, okay? Before the draft, then we're going to have a Monday morning show. Tony and I are going to record around 10:30 Monday. Our folks here will get it up by the afternoon. That's going to be everything Tony's hearing, the latest, right? We'll take some questions from fans as well, but that's like the latest of what Tony's hearing. Rumors will go literally team by team, what he's hearing, what he's thinking, any latest stuff that he has that's breaking. We'll get that on Monday show. On Wednesday show, Tony will do his final mock draft. He's making all the picks. I will chime in. I will be the little devil on his shoulder. I will ask him why and ask follow-ups, but he will be making the picks on Wednesday's mock, heading into the draft, kind of give you the full picture of what he's hearing going around the league and where he thinks all these players are going to go. And then, of course, we'll have our wrap-up show after round one of the draft on Thursday night. And then Tony and I will record a complete draft wrap-up on Saturday night after the last day of the draft. That'll air probably Monday the following week as a draft season draft wrap-up. And then the following week, we'll kind of close our draft season and we will do our brief look ahead to the 2025 NFL draft as we begin our summer scouting for next year. Then we'll take a hiatus and we'll be back with you in August, much like we were this year when the college football season kicks off. All right, last week we did our top 10s to all the offensive positions. If you're interested in offense, go check that out. This week, we're doing defense, Tony. So let's start up front with the big boys. We're going to split this up. Defensive line, edge, off-ball linebacker, corner, safety. So we got five groups. Tony will give his top 10s with me. I will chime in. I will give my opinion. And then we will go group by group here. So, Tony, defensive linemen, these are your defensive tackles and maybe your hybrid tackle end, bigger end type players here. So I'm going to run through a real quick. We got Byron Murphy, one. Jerzan Newton, two. Darius Robinson, three. He's kind of that hybrid guy I was talking about. We have Tavondre Sweat at four on this list. But, again, we'll talk about that. He had some issues off the field last week. Maybe he's sliding a little bit. Dwayne Carter out of Duke. Rook Ororo out of Clemson. I'm going to miss saying that name all the time. Chris Jenkins out of Michigan. And then big man McKinley Jackson plays in the middle. We'll see where his stock is at the current time. Then you have Brandon Dorris and Leonard Taylor rounding out your top 10. How close, Tony, do you have Murphy and your man Jerzan Newton in one and two? Because you're always a Newton guy. I'm honestly surprised to see you bumping Murphy ahead of him.
Well, I think Murphy's done more in the run lead up to the draft, in large part because Newton has been injured. And I think that Newton is undervalued. He's going to be underdrafted. Doesn't have the great body type at 6'1 and a half, 304 pounds. But then again, Murphy's only 6 foot one half inch, you know, 297 pounds, but he is a better athlete. He's more explosive. He's probably a little bit stronger. Don't undervalue Newton, though. To answer your question, I see about a, I don't want to say half round difference, maybe about a 10 slot difference between the two. You look at that, both of them are, you know, three technique type body wise, but I think with Murphy's strength and with Newton's ability, the ability to play with leverage and what he brings to the field, they've got some scheme versatility. They're both real good players against the run. They can rush the passer. Newton, as I've said time and time again, you watched the film last year, even when the game outcome of the game was known and Illinois was going to lose the game, Newton's playing hard in the fourth quarter. Murphy, he's just explosive. He's hitting the, I believe he's just starting to hit the bottom edge of his talent. I think he's got a great amount of upside. Doesn't have great growth potential, which is probably a turnoff to some teams. But I think with Murphy, you're looking at a mid-first-round choice. I still believe that Newton ends up in the late part of round one, and I think he's great value outside of the 20th pick. Darius Robinson, I believe people are unfortunately broad-brushing him or pigeonholing him as an edge rusher. He's a lot more than an edge rusher. Guy's 6'5", 286 pounds. He's going to get bigger before he gets smaller. He was a good run defender at Missouri. He's more athletic than his testing numbers would lead one to believe. I really believe he is a three-down defensive lineman that can play in a four-man front. You can even use him in a three-man front at defensive end as a two-gap end, and that's only going to improve as he physically matures and gets stronger.
Yeah, and Tony, you see him. They move him inside on pass downs to rush him that three technique spot. They do. And I'm with you. I think Byron Murphy could be a top 15 pick. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets picked ahead of Latu and Jared Verse, to be honest with you. I think those guys are all in the same conversation, to be completely frank. And I think Jerzan Newton, I'm with you. I think he'll be between like 25 and 32, kind of in that area. So we're on the same page there. Now we're heading into guys, and I could see Robinson being a day two pick as well. I have him kind of as a late one, early two type guy. And then let's go into that next group. These are kind of your second round projections where you did have Tavondre Sweat. But, you know, we've heard not only about his DWI incident, but there were some worries from teams about some of his extracurricular stuff and, you know, maybe not taking things seriously enough. And he had, again, according to reports, had told all the teams that he had cleaned it up and he got more mature. This is just one of those 2 weeks before the draft, a huge red flag as to can you trust this guy if you draft him?
Not only that, it's also the weight. The weight has also been an issue. He was 366 pounds at the combine. They never announced the weight at the Senior Bowl, but I'm told in the lead up to the Senior Bowl, he was pushing close to 390 pounds as a reported sports.
Yeah, Daniel Jeremiah said he finished last year playing at 390. So,
I mean that is a concern when you have a guy who, you know, has admitted that he likes to party a little bit. He's got, you know, he's not really dedicated to the conditioning, and then he gets caught with a DWI 2 weeks before the draft. I think right now, when it comes to Vondre Sweat, he is just grasping onto a late part of day two pick. I think he's a very good chance he ends up in day three. And it's a shame because he is an athletic playmaker for such a big man. He moves very well. He's explosive. But when you get a guy that big and he doesn't seem to make football a priority, which Sweat has not shown, you know, he's a good playmaker, but he's not shown to do the little things off the field to make himself a better player on the field, which you have to do on Sunday, that's going to hurt his stock.
That has Dallas Cowboys in round three written all over it, Tony. They like taking chances in the mid rounds on guys with off the field stuff. Go back to Sam Williams a couple years ago, right? And he's from, you know, he's a Texas kid. He's in their backyard. They need defensive tackles, right? That screams to me round three Dallas Cowboys.
Or the Philadelphia Eagles, but they've loaded up on those types of players the past couple drafts, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure they want to go down that road again. I'm with you. All right, and then you have Carter and Orororo as your only other two second-rounders. Why do those two guys stand above for you guys that maybe could be round two picks?
You know, we saw Carter at the Senior Bowl, and he was terrific. Good. I mean, he was dominant. He plays with great leverage. 290, 295 pounds, not the biggest guy in the world, but he's strong for his size. People could not move him off the line of scrimmage. And that's the way he played at Duke. And he was basically the only man or the only top player on that Duke defensive line. And he couldn't be stopped. I mean, again, a guy who's more of a one gap defensive tackle, a guy that, you know, shows the ability to play the run as well as rush the passer. Orororo, I think, is just ridiculously underrated. 6'4", just about 300 pounds. 294 at the combine, going to be closer to 300 pounds, had great testing numbers at the combine, has been very explosive throughout his Clemson career, but he's a guy who's got to be more consistent. He's got to put it together, but he's on the upside. His game is moving north. His stock is moving north. I think with Orororo, it's a guy that you draft him in the second round, you're going to use him as potentially rotational player as a rookie, but in time, he's going to get better and will be a three down, every down lineman in the NFL.
I agree. He got the football late too, so I think there's some room for growth there for him as well, even though I think he's a 5-year guy. All right, then you have a bunch of third round guys here, Tony. You got Chris Jenkins out of Michigan. We've talked about him a ton. McKinley Jackson, I know, is someone you want to talk a little bit about, who is a big guy you could put in the middle of your defense. Then Brandon Dorlas, who I also want to talk about too, Tony, because I don't feel like we've mentioned him a lot. He's one of those, he's kind of in that Darius Robinson mold for me as well, kind of that type of mold. And then Leonard Taylor, who I know preseason, people thought he could be a first-round pick. Now you have him projected around three.
And he's probably going to fall even further than that. Get back to Jenkins. I mean, you know, a lot of people thought, you talk about Leonard Taylor, people thought that coming into the season, Chris Jenkins could be a first-round pick. And he had a high ankle sprain. He was very inconsistent. Jenkins, again, another more of a one-gap type of lineman. I think he suffered because the fact that Mazi Smith went on to the NFL, all of a sudden Mazi Smith wasn't collecting the double and triple teams in the middle of that Michigan defensive line, which allowed Chris Jenkins, you know, to go free up to go one-on-one. I like Chris Jenkins. I just think there's a lot of inconsistency there. He's got to play at a higher level. If he comes back, he should come back from that ankle sprain that hurt him last year. He's got a lot of upside, but the production isn't there and he hasn't really put it all together. McKinley Jackson is a player from Texas A&M who came into the season graded as a potential first rounder by NFL scouts, thought he could go early.
Absolutely.
He showed some ability during the Senior Bowl. He's a shorter but wide-bodied lineman at 6'1.5". His weight has fluctuated between 331 and 320 pounds. He was 331 at the Senior Bowl. Scouts thought he was overweight. He has some legal problems from the past, which people can easily just do a little research and find out about him. And just teams don't like the inconsistency because it's sort of a miniature version of Tavondre Sweat. They feel he should be much better. They feel he should be more dedicated to conditioning and doing the little things off the field. A lot of people thought, including myself, McKinley Jackson, a second-round pick, he's going to fall into the third day. He could go as late as the fifth round. Brandon Dorlus, I mean, I think Brandon Dorlus is a good player who did what Oregon wanted him to do. I mean, they had Birch out there, the South Carolina transfer, who was their terrific pass rusher. He's going back for another season at Oregon. But Dorlus is slightly undersized. Again, another three-technique type of defensive tackle. But he's explosive. He plays athletic football. He's mobile. He shows the ability to rush the passer, shows the ability to get out into space and make plays. More of a scheme-specific type of lineman. But again, you're getting a guy who's very mobile and can make plays all over the field.
All right, let's reveal as we go now as we head over to the edge rusher position, Tony. Dallas Turner, you have him as your only early first-round pick. Why do you have him kind of a small notch above the rest in this group?
Well, I mean, he's done everything at Alabama. As a true freshman, he was an off-the-ball linebacker who was explosive. You know, the last couple of years, especially this year, he showed ability standing over tackle as well as out of a three-point stance. He fires off the field. He was terrific at the combine, had some great testing numbers at Pro Day as well. I mean, he's tall. He's going to get bigger and stronger. He's going to complete his game. But I think he's been a very productive player all 3 years at Alabama in a variety of roles. I think you can use him in a 3-4. But he, as well as a pass rusher, you can also drop him off the line and play him in space, cover tight ends if you need him to. He's shown that ability in the past.
Yeah, Tony, he checks every box, right? He had really good testing, a really good athlete, size, meets all those thresholds you want. Alabama production in different roles. He's improved all the years he's been there. So, yeah, I'm with you. He's also my number one pass rusher. I think 8 to Atlanta is his high watermark, and then, you know, but he'll be gone within the next 5 picks. You have Jared Verse as your next guy, along with your boy Chop Robinson here, Tony. Yep. And, you know, they're very different players, right? Verse is your power guy. He'll push the pocket. He plays with a ferocity where he just gets on that offensive tackle out of his stance, and he uses the long arm a little bit, but he really pushes people back. And then you have Chop Robinson, who is a speed guy. And I think not only was his production not great, Tony, he just didn't play a ton of snaps this year, which was interesting. He played almost half the number of snaps as some of these other top pass rushers. But the promise with the athletic testing, the burst off the line, the speed to bend the edge, he's a better athlete than anyone else in this group we're going to talk about. So those are the two guys that you think, what, will be somewhere between like 10 and 20?
Absolutely. I mean, Verse could go earlier. Chop Robinson, I'm going to die on the vine with Chop Robinson. I mean, he could end up, you know, in the late 20s, even in the early 30s. But I'm going to stay with him because I love him as a player. I think he's going to be a fantastic pro in the 2 or 3 years from now. You mentioned the number of snaps that he played. Let's not forget, the guy had a serious concussion against Ohio State. If you watch that game and you watch them take Chop Robinson off the field, it was kind of scary. But he still came back when he really didn't need to come back because he was going to enter the draft. So, you know, the production is down. The snaps are down. But the guy had a serious medical issue. You go back and you watch the 2022 film, even the early part of 2023, he's more than just a wide-angle edge rusher. He shows a great inside move. He's got an excellent change of direction. He's a guy that you can play in space. You can stand him up over tackle. You can do a variety of different things with him. He's got to get a little bit bigger. He's got to get a little bit stronger. As you talk about, he is the athlete of the group. He is the guy that's the fastest guy. I just like his previous tape. I like his upside. And yes, you know, the production and snap count was down, but go back and watch when they took him off the field in that Ohio State game with that concussion. Jared Verse is a guy who's impressed me a lot. I thought he's made overrated coming into the season, but when I watched him, he's more than just a pass rusher. He's a guy who reads and diagnoses plays. He sees the action. He remains disciplined with assignments. He's not just pinning his ears back and rushing up the field. He'll play the pass. He'll play the run. And he tested better than anyone thought at the combine. 4.58, when he was projected to be a mid 4.7 guy, that says a lot for him. And I think he's going to go top 15.
Yeah, and by the way, Chop does flash him speed to power there, too. The only thing, he has short arms. So that's the only thing, right, you can have to work around if you're an evaluator. I think he's at, what, 31 and a half or something, or 32?
32 but, and change.
32 and change, right? So that's something else that people have to take in consideration. All right, your only other first-round pick, Tony, you have Lietu Latu out of UCLA. Is this mostly a medical thing where you think he's going to get dinged back down, or do you think there's something about his play that have teams slotting him below Verson Robinson?
No, I like his play. He's very explosive. I just think that Chop Robinson is more explosive. That's why I have Robinson rated ahead of him. Obviously, the medicals have to be taken into consideration, but it's in the eye of the beholder. I mean, what, you know, one team thinks is not necessarily what the other team is going to believe on Latu. And remember, I mean, he was a guy who was basically medically retired by Washington for neck issues, and then he transferred to UCLA and his game blew up. I'm told so far, a lot of the medical reviews during team meetings have been positive for Latu. A lot of teams have passed him medically. So I could see him in that 20 range, 18, 19 range. The Los Angeles Rams like him a lot. He could go somewhere in there. But again, I mean, medicals like that, where one team is basically telling the guy, you've got to retire, we're not going to let you play, that's got to be a concern. But as we know, it's not the same from team to team.
Yeah, best technician of the group. He has every pass rush move in the bag, just knows what he's doing out there. And his testing was good, not super explosive, but the other numbers were excellent. So something to keep in mind there. You have 2 second-round edge rushers here, Tony. You got Chris Braswell out of Alabama, who I rewatched again this past week, and I liked what I saw again. Plays with really good power for a guy that's only 250 pounds. And then you have Adisa Isaac, another one of your guys out of Penn State, Chop Robinson's teammate. I see him more of a speed guy. That's kind of where he gets most of his wins, but didn't test as well as I thought he would, given his smaller size. But again, I also have him on my board as a late second, early third guy.
He's a speed guy, but when we saw him at the Senior Bowl, he was beating up on Roger Rosengard and Fuega of Oregon State pretty good, not just rushing around the edge. So, you know, I would agree with you. I wish the testing was a little bit better, but he's shown himself to be a very consistent pass rusher at Penn State. He showed the ability to play standing up over tackle, where in college he was primarily a hand in the ground, 3-point stance type of guy. 6'4" and a half. He should be able to get bigger and add some weight and add some bulk to that frame. Chris Braswell, I think Chris Braswell is just starting to hit his stride. Chris Braswell was always known as a real good athlete who's got to become a football player. We saw flashes of that last year. I think he's got a tremendous amount of upside. You know, he didn't have great testing numbers. They weren't bad, but they weren't great. But he plays very athletic. He's rarely off his feet. Good change of direction. You know, not just a guy that has the ability to get upfield and rush the passer. Also has the ability to play off the line and play in space if you need him.
All right, then you got a bunch of third-round picks here, Tony. You can make a case for all of these plays, and they're all very different, which I think is interesting. Right. Braylon Trice might have been the most productive pass rusher in college football over the last 2 seasons. Pressures, sacks. But boy, his testing was putrid, just not very good. But you have the production there, you know, relentless, plays with some good power. Marshawn Kneeland, you know, he's a guy that they reduced into a 3-technique defensive tackle on pass rushing downs. You saw that at the Senior Bowl too. Big, long, physical player. Austin Booker, just really a 1-year wonder, but a high motor guy who shows some good quickness and athleticism. Didn't test as well as I would have liked. And then Jonah Ellis, who I have as a second-round pick. I have him right with Adisa Isaac. Stand-up rusher, little undersized. He has the best inside spin move in the draft, Tony. He just has this great inside spin that he gets guys on all the time. And he tested really well. So I think his upside as one of these kind of stand-up 3-4 guys is really, really high.
I think with Booker and Ellis, you're looking at guys who are violent defenders. I mean, you watch these guys. They really attack the opponents. They attack the blockers. They go after the quarterbacks. They look to finish off the play. Booker, like you said, the testing was not good. But when you watch the film, he looks very athletic. Ellis, you know, he's a smaller guy who gets caught up in the wash. He's easily out of position, but he plays with great leverage. He's rarely off his feet, and he go, 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 and he's got great bloodlines. The guy to keep an eye on is Marshawn Kneeland. A lot of teams like him. As I reported at SportsTheater.com, 16 official visits. This is from a guy who was at the Senior Bowl, was at the Combine, and he's got clean character. He's got no medicals. teams are bringing him in to see how he fits. So that Nealon is the guy in this bunch who could go higher than a lot of people are presently projecting. Braylon Trice is, you know, he was a real good college pass rusher who found ways to get it done. You know, good hand technique, good ability to defeat blocks. I think he's a little bit limited at the next level. And Trice, I have him as a third rounder, but this is a guy who not too long ago people thought could be a first round choice.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's jump, Tony, to linebackers here. These are the stand-up guys. And you only have two guys with second-round grades, nobody with first-round grades, Junior Colson out of Michigan and Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M.
And different types of players. I mean, Colson is more and has not done any pre-draft testing, not that I know of. He didn't test the combine. He didn't test at the Michigan Pro Day because of injuries, but he's big. He's tough. He's a terrific run defender who can also rush the passer. Edgerrin Cooper is a guy who's a little bit smaller.
He looks like a safety. When we saw him at the combine, Tony, the guy's built like a safety.
But all the guy does is produce. I mean, he's terrific against the run. He's an outstanding pass rusher. He also shows ability and coverage to get down the field. I have Colson ahead of Cooper. It wouldn't surprise me if Cooper goes ahead of Colson on draft day. I think both of them come off the board in the first 15 picks of round two.
And then you have Peyton Wilson as a second, third round hybrid here, Tony. If there wasn't an injury history here, would you have him as your number one linebacker with his physicality and size?
He'd be a first round pick. There's no doubt about it. You look at the size, you look at the instincts, you look at the playmaking skill, you look at the fact that this guy's a good pass rusher who can also defend the run, who's also good in coverage. But the medical history is a disaster. Massive shoulder injuries, major knee injuries. I mean, three ACL surgeries, one which had to be done twice because the first time they did it, it didn't take. So there were some really, I mean, we talked about Latu's medicals. The lead medicals on Peyton Wilson are even worse. It is going to be interesting to see where he goes. I have him as a second, third round pick. He could go day three. If it wasn't for all the injuries, he would be a first round choice. No doubt about it. He's been a dominant linebacker since he was a sophomore at North Carolina State.
You got a bunch of third round guys here, Tony. Let's roll through them. Trevin Wallace out of Kentucky. Big, we saw him at the Senior Bowl, physical, athletic guy. Cedric Dran of North Carolina, another Senior Bowl guy who I thought did a really good job in coverage. And then one of your guys you've been pumping up this whole process is Teron Hopper out of Missouri.
Trevin Wallace, I mean, he's got excellent size. He had excellent testing numbers at the combine. He's a guy who really stood out last year at Kentucky. I've talked to some people who were a little bit concerned about his instincts. I don't see it on film. I don't see a guy recklessly running around. I see someone who diagnoses plays and gets to the ball. Cedric Gray, he has those instincts. He's a little bit smaller as far as his play strength. He's not super fast, but he's constantly around the action. He's efficient. He takes good angles. I like Hopper a lot. I think he should go third round. I'm told he has built some momentum for himself. A little bit of a small guy, sort of like Cedric Gray in the sense that he's not real big. He's not super fast, but he's just been very productive really throughout his college career, which started in Florida, then moved on to Missouri.
Let's roll through the rest of these linebackers. These are probably day three guys, Tony. They all have limitations in some way, shape, or form. Marist Liafau out of Notre Dame. I need to work on that one. Jeremiah Trotter Jr. out of Clemson. Edifuan Ulufosio out of Washington. And then Tommy Eichenberg out of Ohio State. And again, these are a group of guys where while they're in the same tier, Tony, they all are very different.
Yeah, and two of those guys, and I know, of course, the guys with the last names I can't pronounce, Liafau of Notre Dame and Olofosheu of Washington, those are the guys that have built some momentum for themselves. Liafau of Notre Dame's got good size. He's very intense. He's explosive. He's also tested a lot better than people thought, and people think he's more than just a in-the-box sideline-to-sideline linebacker. They think they can use him in space. With the Washington linebacker, he's been a very productive player, but he's smaller. He's had some injury issues. Jeremiah Trotter is going to fall. Jeremiah Trotter on his own pro day at Clemson ran anywhere from, depending on who you talk to, 4.75 to the low 4.8s, and he plays to that speed. If you read my report on him at Sportskeeda, he's not a guy who's great in pursuit. He doesn't show the ability to get out to the sidelines quickly and cut down the action. And he's a smaller guy. He's under 230 pounds, so it's not like he stacks all that well against the run.
Draft season is brought to you by Moody's Decode Risk. unlock opportunity. Visit Moody's.com to learn more. Tony, let's jump over to the cornerback position, where you have four players with first-round grades, leading off with Quinion Mitchell, followed by Terrion Arnold, your guy Kool-Aid McKinstry, and then finally Nate Wiggins.
Yeah, and I mean, it's going to be interesting to see who goes first, Quinion Mitchell or Terrion Arnold. I like Mitchell because he's bigger. He showed the ability to play press coverage at the Senior Bowl, as we've talked about numerous times on the show. I mean, and he's done everything incredibly well from the end of his Toledo career, which was terrific, through the pre-draft process, the Senior Bowl, the combine. You interviewed him. You know, he's a very level-headed, low-key guy who knows what he wants to do, who knows what he has to do. I have him rated higher than Arnold because if you watch Arnold, yeah, he's a real good cornerback, but he's primarily a nickelback at Alabama. And it's nothing against nickelbacks, because nickelbacks are on the field 75 to 80% of the snaps in the NFL. But I just like Quinion Mitchell better because he's bigger. He's shown the ability in press coverage, and he just seems to get better and better.
And he timed much faster too, Tony, to be honest. Like, you know, Arnold's time was fine. It was a 4.51, which is okay.
Right.
But keep in mind, that's also a really fast track in Indy, right? So that's maybe probably more like a 4.55 on a neutral track, 4.54. Right. So I'm with you. And then Kool-Aid McKinstry, who I believe has had surgery on the Jones fracture by now in his foot, ran a sub 4.5 on the Jones fracture at his pro day. And then, of course, Nate Wiggins, nobody has any worries about his speed.
Well, and McKinstry, it's a matter of when will he be ready to play? You know, if he's going to be ready for a rookie training camp, you know, he's going to go early. If teams think he's going to need a little bit of time, he's going to fall. Wiggins is fast. Wiggins is 40 fast, but there's a lot of concern for me with Wiggins. You know, what is he, 6'1 and a half, 173 pounds.
He did weigh in at 180 something in his pro day, but you don't know how real that is.
You know, the playing weight is, and, you know, I like Wiggins. My concern is when I watch the film, he does a lot of trailing. He does a lot of chasing opponents down the field, despite the fact he ran a 4.28, does a lot of face guarding at times, which is a concern for me, which is why I have him number four of all the top cornerbacks.
And then you have one guy with a first, second round hybrid grade, and that's Cooper DeJean, Tony. Curiosity, when you talk to teams, how many see him as a corner like I do and I think like you do, and how many teams see him as a safety?
The consensus is we're going to start him at corner, and if he doesn't make it a corner, we'll kick him inside to safety. So I think going into when he is selected on draft night, he's going to be called out as a cornerback. It's a matter of, can he stay there? You know, does he have the flexibility, the agility to stay a cornerback? As I have stated before, when I watch him, he's more of an opportunistic cornerback as opposed to a Quinion Mitchell or Terrion Arnold or Kool-Aid McKinstry, who's got outstanding ball skills. So the consensus is we'll start him at cornerback. If he can't hack it, we'll kick him inside to safety. The other thing about DeJean is, you know, he brings tremendous return skills, which is why a lot of teams like him. And with the new kickoff rules, you know, you can put a guy like that on the field and get some production out of him as a return specialist.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you on that, Tony. And then this is where it got tough for me, trying to stack these second and third round corners. The only guy with a true second round grade for you is Kabari Lassiter.
And that's what I'm hearing from teams. I mean, he didn't run all that well at Georgia Pro Day. He was anywhere from the mid 4.5s. Some teams have him in the low 4.6s, but he's got excellent ball skills. He plays fast. You know, I talked about Wiggins chasing opponents down the field. You don't see that with Lassiter. You see Lassiter basically get his head back around, position himself against opponents in the deep field to break up passes. Mm-hmm. Decent size, not great size, but I think he's got starting ability at the next level.
Pardon me, guys. I am dealing with allergy season, which has come late this year, just in time for the draft. So apologies for the coughing and sneezing and the voice if it sounds a little bit different today. Third round, you got Mike Sansor still, Ennis Rackestraw, TJ Tampa, Kyrie Jackson. And quite frankly, Tony, I have guys like DJ James in that list, Drew Phillips in that list for me. I think they're right in that kind of mix area too. Your thoughts on this kind of next group? And is this kind of teams figuring out which player fits with them as much as it is figuring out which player is better?
And I would agree with that. I do have Andrew Phillips as a third round pick. He's my 12th cornerback on my board. Getting back to Sanistrell, he's another interesting guy to watch on draft night because teams absolutely love him. He's a little bit shorter, 5'9 and a half, but he was a terrific cornerback the past 2 years. Did have some problems in the playoffs, but overall, he's been a real good cornerback.
His tape is great. His tape's awesome.
And the thing is as I wrote at Sportskeeda yesterday, people I've talked to said that he had the best pro day workout of any player in the run-up, in the lead-up to the 2024 draft. If you read my report on him, his ball skills and defensive back drills were great. He ran about 15 pass routes because he's a former receiver, and he was spectacular catching the ball. And as I reported back when Michigan had their pro day, he's come across as a genius, you know, with his football intellect in one-on-one interviews. He's blown the interview process away. I have him as a third-round pick. He could go the early part of round two. He could be that sixth cornerback off the board because people love him. Only a nickelback at the next level, projected to be a nickelback, but you know, as I reported yesterday, nickelbacks are on the field 75 to 80% of the defensive snaps. Enos Rake-Straw's kind of taken a hit in the pre-draft process. He had, I believe it was a double sports hernia, probably shouldn't have run, didn't run all that well, or ran competently, let's say, at the combine. He then ran again at Missouri Pro Day, and he was running in the high 4.5s. The Missouri coaches were crazed because they didn't think he should have worked out. So, and the fact is, he's 183 pounds. He's not a bigger guy. There are some concerns about Rake-Straw, which is why people have projected him, or some people, as a first-round pick. He's probably going to be bottom half of round two right now. DJ Tampa is a guy who I like a lot. I like his size. I like his ball skills. Kyrie Jackson, someone we saw at the Senior Bowl. And even if you see him at the Senior Bowl, if you watched him in Oregon last year, he was a terrific cornerback. Does have some medical issues, which teams are concerned about, which could push him later than I believe he deserves to go.
Two other names I want to ask you about, Tony. You mentioned Andrew Phillips already. Where do you have Max Melton and Renardo Green? I really like Green's tape as a guy that played a lot of press man at Florida State.
Melton I have as a fourth-round pick. Melton is projected by some teams as a third-round choice. Melton tested incredibly well in the lead-up to the draft. The problem is he's been just really inconsistent throughout his college career. You go back and you watch Max Melton as a freshman at Rutgers, you're like, this guy is a first-round prospect in the making. Yet his game has gone up and down. He never really developed on that terrific first year at Rutgers. He's got a lot of upside, but he's going to need a lot of coaching. As far as Green is concerned at Florida State, I have a more middle of day three. Excellent size, excellent speed, just too much inconsistency for me to grade him much higher.
All right, let's go to the safety position, Tony. Yeah. And I was thrilled to see that you have the same number one guy on your list that I do. And again, nobody with the first round grade in your group, but you have four guys with second round grades, and three of them are identical to mine. And you lead off with Javon Bullard out of Georgia, who ran really well, can cover. He's not a big guy, Tony, but he's a good tackler. Seems like a smart player. You have him leading the way at number one.
Not a big guy, but plays big football. I mean, he's a guy who's willing to stick his helmet in the pile. He's a guy who voluntarily flies up the field and defends the run. I like his ball skills. I'm partial to the true center fielders at the safety position, especially these days in the NFL. The guys that you can line up over the slot receiver if you need them to, or line them up over receiver, and they're not going to be a liability. That's what I see in Javon Bullard.
And then, well, based on your criteria you just laid out, I'm not surprised that Kalen Bullock is second on your list, Tony, because he has some great plays out of center field. The only problem is that teams might watch him try to tackle, or maybe try not to tackle on some plays. And it's ugly. And I wonder how much that's going to hold some of his great pass defense back. I mean, filling the wrong gaps, missing outright. It's just a mess in the run game for Kalen Bullock.
Yeah, but he's got, and that's something that has to be figured out, but he's got excellent range. I mean, he looks like a track guy on the football field. In fact, when the defensive backs were working out, I was sitting with somebody from USC, and I asked if he's got a track background. When you look at the sides, when you look at the movement skills, I like the range. I like the ball skills. I like the ability to play the pass in the air. Obviously, those other things are going to have to be ironed out.
And then the other two guys with second-round picks, Tony, Cole Bishop out of Utah, who I think is a real versatile player. He blitzed a lot. He was good as a pass rusher. He covered one-on-one. He supported against the run. Really good tackler. Not a lot of ball production, but I thought he was always around the ball. I think he's a good player. And then Jaden Hicks, who checks all the box physically, right? He's 215 pounds. He ran really well. and he, I think he actually covers pretty well for a guy his size. There are just too many missed tackles on tape for me. He gets a little out of control, tries to ankle tackle a lot, and he misses too many of those.
I think what Cole Bishop is, I think when you watch Bishop's tape, it seems to me that he's just basically playing assignment football. They didn't let him run free. They didn't let him really utilize his playmaking ability, which he has, and he's got outstanding size, 6'2", 205 pounds, ran a 4.45. So that ability is there. I think to his credit, he was just playing within the system. Jaden Hicks, a lot of teams I've spoken to have him ranked as their number one safety. He's got the size, as you mentioned. He's got decent ball skills. He timed much better during his pro day than people thought. They thought he was going to be a mid to high 4.5 guy. He was 4.47, 4.46. I think for me with Hicks, the reason why he's number four is he doesn't show that great sideline to sideline range of fluidity the way Bullard does, the way Bullock does, the way Cole Bishop can do. I think he's more of a, in my opinion, more of a zone in the box type of downhill safety.
Then your only third round grade is Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota.
And Newbin's testing has been, was awful. I mean, he ran, I believe it was a 4.59 at pro day. The athletic testing isn't there. He's a good player. He's smart. He's instinctive, but I'm concerned about his athleticism. I have him as a third rounder. I really want to put him in the fourth round. But I mean, again, here's a guy that people thought at one point in time could be a first rounder. I never believed that. I think he's a thinking man's football player, and there's a place for that on Sunday, but I just don't think it translates to an early pick in the draft.
And then Tony, there are a couple interesting guys on round in day three that we haven't talked a ton about. So let's focus on the three next guys on your list. Dominique Hampton out of Washington, who's got good size and timed really well. He's got some good tape. Bo Braid out of Maryland, and then Malik Mustafa out of Wake Forest. So I've talked to some people, and he's kind of their like sleeper favorite guy in this draft at the safety position.
He's always been my favorite. I mean, the only thing is he didn't run as fast as I had thought, not as fast as expected. People thought he was going to be in the mid 4.4s. He's a guy who ran the mid 4.5s, 4.53, which is okay. But you know, you go back when we did our first show with Bruce Feldman, and Feldman had him on his freaks list, and I was overjoyed because you watch Mustafa. And you can tell he gets it between the ears. You can tell he's got great instincts. I don't think the athleticism matches some of the top safeties in this draft. I also thought he probably played slightly better in 2022 than he did in 2023. But he's got that. He's got tremendous upside. And he's smart, as you would expect a Wake Forest player to be. Keep an eye on Dominique Hampton. He could go end up in day two. There's no doubt about it. He's big. He's physical. I mean, he ran some. I have him as a 4.41. There were some 4.3s during his pro day.
He doesn't and that's look, at 215 pounds.
He doesn't look that fast on film. But again, I go back to what I say with Cole Bishop. I think with Hampton, he's a smart, instinctive guy. And they asked him to play within the system. And they had some good cornerbacks there. Obviously, he's got that athleticism that if you unleash it, you've got the instincts with the potential playmaking ability. I have him as an early fourth round pick, Hampton. It would not surprise me if he ends up in the third round of the draft.
All right, then the final guys on your list here, Tony, Jalen Simpson, then Cam Kitchens. And, you know, Kitchens' testing was just poor, not just his 4.5940. His other testing was poor as well. But, boy, there are some plays on tape, man, where he's playing single high and he gets to the sideline and makes some nice interceptions.
Good football player, not a great athlete. And he shows the ability and the ball skills to play free safety. But I think he was, what, 4.65 at the combine, slightly improved at pro day 4.59. You know, you're going to have to protect a guy like that. You can't, you know, ask him to cover a lot of area, but he is a good football player.
All right, Tony, let's get to a couple questions here from the Twitterverse about some of these defensive players. All right, let's go to Michael Tauber. Do you consider Dallas Turner an elite edge prospect? How would he be ranked next to Kayvon Thibodeau and that class?
I think Kayvon Thibodeau was a much better pass rusher than Dallas Turner, but I think Dallas Turner can do more things on the football field. I don't think Kayvon Thibodeau was a guy that you could line up over the tight end and play in coverage, where I believe you can do that with Dallas Turner. Forget about believing it. Go back and watch his freshman film. So if you're looking at it, I think Thibodeau is the better pass rusher, but I think Dallas Turner can do more things and has a more versatile game.
Do you think there's second part of that question from him? Do you think there's any chance the Falcons just go best player available and pick a wide receiver at 8?
I think there's a chance the Falcons could take Brock Bowers with that pick. I'm still leaning towards them taking a defensive player, edge rusher like Dallas Turner. I think there's a chance that the Falcons, you know, if they're not sold on Brock Bowers, they could potentially trade down if the right offer is there, because they can get a pass rusher, whether it be Dallas Turner, whether it be Jared Verse, you know, from pick number 10 to 12.
All right, Tony, this one from Steven Sperry. He wants to know, how do you treat it when you look at maybe a consensus board, right, with kind of the draft community thinks, and a player is either much higher or lower than where you have him ranked? Do you take another look at the player? Do you adjust your rankings? Do you ignore it completely? How do you react when you see maybe a guy on the consensus board is ranked radically different than maybe somebody on yours?
It's a dynamite question. It really is. And I've learned through the years, go with your first instinct, because your first instinct is always the best. If I'm way off on somebody, I will usually go back and watch the film to see if my first instinct was wrong. In the case of a guy like Chop Robinson, maybe I'm just stubborn. I'm going to stay with what I believe. It's a real good question. I will not adjust my board based on what I see other people are ranking a player. If someone, you know, Bo Nix is number 20, I'm not moving Bo Nix up because I've done my film work on Bo Nix. And I think it's really important that people, and I've said this, you know, Tom Blue in the face, the draft is just the beginning. It's not the ending. So if I have a Chop Robinson rated as my 18th player on my board, and Chop Robinson ends up as the 32nd pick, well, you know, it may be wrong on draft day. Let's see what happens 2 or 3 years down the road.
No, I think that's a really good point, Tony. You're trying to project, not predict, I think is the difference when you're putting your board together. This one from RW Dynasty. What are your thoughts on day 3 edge rushers, Miles Cole, Brady McGregor, and Mo Kamara?
Kamara, I think, is going to be a good situational pass rusher. Kamara out of Colorado State. He could come out of a 3-point stance.
I could see him sneaking into the end of day 2, Tony, if someone wants a DPR.
There are some people who believe that. I am not of that thought. Brady McGregor, I think, is a guy who's got to play at a much higher level. He's got to be more consistent. You know, he's got an NFL body, but I expected him to take a much bigger step in his game last year than he did. Cole's not a bad little player. Cole, I think, is more of a three down guy than he is just an edge rusher. Miles Cole out of Texas Tech, 6'6", 278 pounds, very athletic, but he's got to start making more plays. He's got to really turn that athleticism that he's shown at the combine and he shows on film into much more consistent production.
Joseph M. Felicelli wants to know, how do you adjust your edge rankings, Tony? Obviously, you're just doing a general ranking board here, but obviously responsibilities for the role in the run game versus coverage in, say, a Tampa 2-4-3 versus a Fangio type 3-4 can be very different. So do you almost have different lists? Do you just have that in your notes? How do you kind of differentiate that when you're deciding what teams players might get drafted to and what they're going to be asked to do?
It's in my notes. I won't adjust it per team because, you know, I'm doing an overall board opposed to a board for a specific system or a specific scheme. That's why when I talk about a guy like Dallas Turner, which we just talked about, you know, he's a guy who can rush the passer out of a 3-point stance, standing over tackle, but he also shows ability in space. He also shows the ability to, you know, play off the line in coverage against the tight end. That's why I think when the earlier question about him compared to Thibodeau is the better pass rusher, but I think Dallas Turner is more versatile as an edge rusher and a guy that can be used in space, can be used as a guy in pursuit against the run or in coverage.
This question from Ken C. And I'll answer this one. How do you think the Giants will approach defense in the draft? I see some needs at defensive tackle, safety, cornerback, and even linebacker and edge depth. I think you have them listed pretty well there, Ken. I think the linebacker and edge spots, you can add depth. But I think, you know, you need starters at safety and cornerback at this point. Like, who's your second starter starting safety? It's Dane Belton, who doesn't have a ton of experience playing in the pros so far. And then at corner, who's your nickel and who's your outside guy? Cordell Flott, Trey Hawkins, Nick McCloud. You probably want to add a guy that can compete for a starting spot there. And then I think defensive tackle, be more specific. I'm thinking three technique defensive tackle. So you're looking into that more, that Braden Fisk, Hall from Ohio State, Dorless, you know, guys like that that can fit into that three technique upfield pass rusher role for the Giants. Tony, this one from Keith Luckin. Could we see a third defensive tackle sneak into round one? I would just say probably not, unless you want to count Darius Robinson as a defensive tackle.
That's it. I mean, there's a possibility, although I have Johnny Newton, Raiders first round pick. I mean, it's not a 50-50 shot, but there's at least a good 25% chance that he's not selected in round one. So there's a very small chance we may only have one defensive tackle selected in the first frame.
Michael ABA, best defensive tackle fit, run stuffer or pass rusher type next to Dexter Lawrence. And I think I answered in my last one. I would go more of a pass rusher upfield type. That seems to be what Shane Bowen would prefer. And then he wants more details on Max Melton, which Tony did do already earlier in the show. So we already got your questions covered there, Mike. David Simpson, Tony, can Quinion Mitchell sneak into the top 10 selections in this year's draft?
No. I mean, who would I like him. I don't like him that much. Who would take him in the top 10?
The Falcons, right? That would be my thought.
Yeah. He's not – I like Mitchell, but he's not as highly rated as some of the edge rushers. I mean, anything's possible. It would be a major shock. You look at the Jets taking Will McDonald last year where they did. It would be a major shock. I don't see it happening.
All right, couple more real quick, Tony. Got about 90 seconds here. Thoughts on Elijah Jones, cornerback out of Boston College?
Good story, former walk-on, excellent size, has shown an ever-improving game. I think he's a late-round pick who's more of a dime back at the next level. Hope he makes it just because of the fact, you know, the story itself.
All right, finally, this one from David Batach. Would Kule McKinstry be the perfect pick for the Chiefs to replace L'Jarius Sneed? Similar traits and size. Do you think that would make sense at 32? And do you think he'll get that far?
I don't think he's going to get that far. I think when you look at Kool-Aid McKinstry and L'Jarius Sneed at equal points in their career, McKinstry's much higher rated. I don't think a lot of people thought L'Jarius Sneed was going to turn out to be the player that he was. Would it be? I think he would be a good replacement. I think he'd probably be more productive off the bat. Whether he could eventually turn into the he should be able to turn into the cornerback Sneed has developed into. But again, yeah. When you look at them at equal points of their career, you got to rate McKinstry much higher.
Yeah, and I don't think McKinstry has the slot inside potential that Sneed had earlier in his career. I know he eventually became an outside guy. I think outside, yes. Inside, no for McKinstry. Tony, good stuff, my friend. Where should people find all your stuff?
SportsGeeterGuy.com. There'll be a lot of news, updated rankings, obviously the mock draft simulator, which people get addicted to. You want to be your own GM. You'll go hang out there, and you can play that game for a good 4 or 5 hours.
I already gave earlier in the show what our schedule is for next week for draft season. Don't forget, it's all brought to you by Moody's. Decode risk, unlock opportunity. Visit Moody's.com to learn more. Thank you for joining us on draft season. We'll see you next time, everybody.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.